Glad you're here today. As Pastor Hunter said, we did not get anything printed this week. And the main reason is it had nothing to do with our office. It had nothing to do with our copiers. We just couldn't get ink. If you remember, Microsoft decided to shut down the entire world at the end of the week through a misprogramming of some code they did in updating their system. Airlines were shut down. Shipping organizations were shut down. We just couldn't get the ink. So this morning, I ran off on my personal printer, all of these for you, and then I ran out of ink. So if you didn't get one, I have two, all right? I have two left, all right? So let me know. I'll put them right here if you need one, all right? Glad you're here today, and I am excited about this series we're jumping into. We're looking at how do you deal with difficult people? And the Bible gives us some great biblical truth on looking to that. Last week, we looked at how do you deal with critical people. Today, we're going to look at how do you deal with overtly needy people. Now, I want to say up front, when we run into people with need, as Christ followers, we are commanded to do what we can to meet those needs in people. We are commanded by God. When we see someone who is poor or destitute or outcast or in need, we should do what we can with the resources we have to help meet those needs in those people's lives. But what I want to do today is help us understand how far do we go in doing that? Because there is a tension that we experience when we feel we are to help someone. We wonder, do I go this far? Do I go this far? Do I go this far? And then when do I stop? Where's the cutoff? We all deal with that kind of tension. And what I want to share with you today, Jesus dealt with the same kind of tension. And here's another thing I've learned. Some people who are in need are often embarrassed to ask for help. They just don't want that shame of coming and asking. As a church, with our family, we should make it easy for people to do that when they have a need. Because the truth is, all of us at some point in our life are going to find ourselves in a need. Okay? But today, let's look at overtly people who are always seem to be stuck in a need. They don't seem to be able to help themselves or get past that. They seem trapped there. They seem stuck there. So to help you today, I've read a book by a Christian writer. He's a clinical psychologist named, you see there in your notes, Daniel Rhodes, Dr. Daniel Rhodes. He wrote a book years ago called Vampires, okay? Emotional predators who want to suck the life out of you. And in his book, he gives all these big, fancy psychological terms for them. So what I did is I put them in my terms that helps me understand what he was trying to say. Because I didn't want to give you a lesson in psychology nor a medical explanation of things today, but a biblical one. And he says when we're dealing with emotional vampires, these people who constantly seem to suck everything out of us, he says we get caught in this tension of where is the line? How far do I go? And he said, if you don't draw some lines, they keep coming back to you. They keep coming back. They show up. They call. They text. They're always in need. And he said, if you continue, they're going to continue. So what he does initially in his book, he looks at the myth, the folklore of vampires. He says, it's interesting that when you look at the story of the folklore of vampires, when they come into sunlight, they become dust. He says emotional vampires are the same. They don't want exposure. He said another thing about the folklore of vampires is that they are terrified of the cross of Christ. He said that makes perfectly good sense because they are simply demons in a physical form. And the book, the Bible says that even the demons tremble at Jesus and that one day everything in heaven and on the earth and under the earth will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, and that's why vampires have to do that. But he said, now the problem is, if you get bitten by one, you become one. So his book is written to help us on a Christian basis how not to become one, because we live with this tension. So first let me give you the four types he labels in his book. Like I said, I've renamed them for us today. The first one, I would call it insecure smotherers. These are the ones who, 5 minutes after they talk to you or see you, they're upset that they've done something to bother you. They've wondered, did it upset you? You know, they may send you a text and you haven't responded within 20 minutes. They send you another one. Are you mad at me? Did I do something? Are we still friends? Do you still like me? These are emotional smotherers. And so he says, we have those we have to deal with. Another he calls